हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
As long as one's not satiated by fruit of activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29. When a person becomes indifferent to karma, karma simply becomes jnana. When real faith in topics of Krishna arises, karma changes into bhakti. Concerning nishkama karma and karmarpana, Narada says, when Brahma Gyan, essentially devoid of both karma and devotion to Achyuta, has no good qualities, naturally karma, by which nature is inauspicious, even if it becomes nishkarma, without desire, cannot attain any good qualities, as long as it is not offered to the Lord. 1.5.12. Need a better translation. Okay, so then Narada explains how we're trying to get to this karmarpana. Okay. If one tries to cure a sickness by the very cause of the sickness, the disease will never be cured. The cause of the disease of samsara, of the jiva, is karmakanda. Whether it is nishkam, performed without desire for results, or offered to the Lord, it still does not yield destruction of samsara. Only after karma is accepted only to the extent of maintaining the body does it lose its nature as karma. Only then can it transform into bhakti. Only when those karmas alone, which are favorable for pleasing the Lord, are accepted, and the person accepts sambandha jnana concerning bhakti, does all karma become bhakti yoga. Making all actions in relation to Krishna and accepting the teachings concerning the Lord, the devotee should constantly chant and remember the qualities and names of Krishna. This is the instruction of the scriptures. Though jnana and vairag are somewhat favorable for entering bhakti, they are not angas of bhakti. If they become prominent, they harden the heart, and one cannot appreciate bhakti, which is by nature very tender. They are by nature obstacles in the development of relation with Krishna. Devotion is the only cause of bhakti. Rather than practice vairag, the devotee should practice yukta vairag. And then he gives a quote from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Relating everything in the world as much as possible to Krishna in a favorable way, without being attached, is called yukta vairagya. Okay. It means in a favorable way, it means favorable for Krishna, and without being attached. Because otherwise, how do we use yukta? Because we're saying yukta vairagya means connect, use anything. But then that's called yukta. But yukta vairagya means that there's the element of detachment, right? Yes.
Rajiv, it says devotion is the only cause of bhakti.
Yes, devotion is, it means, in other words, like you, we, there's a saying, money, you know, if there's money, then it generates money. Right? So in the same way as that, some devotion that has come by the grace of the devotees, that then increases, I mean, by proper practice, then that increases. But it doesn't come from karma and jnana, right? That's the whole point. So here is then Narada Muni's making the point that is, you're not going to get rid of the disease by using the exact same thing of the disease, right? There has to be some transformation of that. Right, like you take milk, you get sick. It's not by taking more milk you'll get cured, but by transformation of the milk as yogurt, then you'll get cured. Right? Does that make sense? So in the same way is that the karma and jnana itself is not going to purify you, you know, in the way of bringing it to the platform of bhakti. It's that these elements, in other words, the material necessities are reduced down to just, you know, what works. In other words, it's not the object of one's focus, right? It doesn't mean that you have to have nothing. It means that that's not what's important to you. You know, you just take care of things nicely and everything like that. Then that position, then those karmas that are favorable, recommended in the Shastra, that are favorable to Krishna, you perform those activities, those karmas then transform into bhakti. Right? Because otherwise, yeah. Yeah. So this element of being detached, that's not so important. You prefer it out there, or you prefer sitting out there? If you can figure out how to get in, then yes. If you can't, then be happy where you are. That's all. Does this make sense? He's making these fine points between, means just what we take for granted is just devotional service, means means this action in Krishna consciousness, but he's showing that this action in Krishna consciousness is beyond karma and jnana, right? It may have activities that look like karma and jnana, but they themselves are not actually karma and jnana. Does that make sense? Because here when we say karma, we mean, you know, something that gives a fruit of result that you're interested in. All right? Because he's making the point here is that, see, the Brahma Gyan basically is devoid of, it doesn't have karma in it, and it doesn't have a devotion to Krishna. So therefore, it's not, it doesn't have any qualities. There's nothing there to work with. Right, and then the problem is karma then is inauspicious because it's not connected to Krishna. So whether it's pious or impious, it's also pretty much useless. Right, so even if it's even if you're dealing that you're performing the material activity not for the result for yourself, but it's still just a material activity. Right, maybe a nicer material activity, or you know. Than doing something for oneself, but it's still material activity, right? So basically, whether there's desire or no desire, it's not much benefit unless it's offered to Krishna. That's the bottom line. It's when it's connected to Krishna, then it becomes useful, right? Otherwise, you think, oh, he's very detached, or he's very. That's nice if it's connected to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna and you're cultivating, you know, austerity and this and that, it simply makes the hard heart. No, makes the heart hard. Yes. Right? And then that becomes a difficulty. Because, as you mentioned, devotional service is very, very, very gentle, very tender. So if the heart is hard, how you'll appreciate something that's soft? Does that make sense? So you see, sometimes devotees are very austere in this and that, but at the same time, as so many aspects of bhakti, they're not so interested in. Right? Finer things, this, that, they're not interested in. Because the jnana and vairag is becoming more prominent than the devotional activity. Right? So the idea is that the connecting the karma and jnana to Krishna has to mean that you're connecting something that's, you know, to Krishna in a favorable way without your desiring the result. Right? That's the, when we talk about naishkarmya, that's what we're talking about. Right? So we have to distinguish that, just like we distinguish when we say karma means the activities, between devotional activities and non-devotional activities. We also have to be able to distinguish karma that has no need for a result, right? Between what is being done for Krishna and what's not, right? Because as it is, see, we tend to take the things that karma, okay, means that it's not for Krishna, it's material. And naishkarma means it's not for me, so it's for Krishna, right? Because that's how we're looking at our activity. Because giving up the result, we're giving it up for Krishna. But what he's pointing out is, you can give up the desire for the result, and still it's not for Krishna. Right? Because you're dealing with jnana. So karma and jnana aren't connected with bhakti. Right? They themselves aren't considered angas of bhakti. Right? So this jnana doesn't just mean knowledge, it means this ability to analyze and keep yourself separate from material activity. Right? Understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that's not jnana. Right? In this sense. When we're talking about the path of karma and path of jnana, it's not that. Right? As you mentioned, you have overlapping definitions. So these overlapping definitions sometimes are a problem because we will think of them in one way or another. Right? Does that make sense? But the idea is that these definitions, we know how we use them, but we want to make sure that any understanding other than that is not what we're thinking. Right? Because otherwise someone's very austere, always very advanced. Right? But the austerity itself is not what makes you advanced. It's devotion makes you advanced, and as a side, a derivative of the devotion, jnana and vairag come. But if someone's just expert at jnana and vairag, it doesn't make them advanced in devotional service. Does that make sense? So basically, we generally don't use this. All these things are not so much for using on others. They're for using on ourselves. Right? Just because now we're very austere, this, that doesn't necessarily mean it's this progression. You know what I'm saying? It generally is a symptom of progression, because how else does it come? It's coming by devotional service. But the point is you're focusing on devotional service, so then you can look at jnana and vairag, how much is there. Right? Just like I'm doing work, and then I can see from that, oh, how much money has come. Then I know how much work has gone on. Does that make sense? So I look, there's 100 rupees. I look, there's 1,000 rupees. I look, there's 10,000 rupees. I can tell how much work has gone on. But if I'm focusing just on the rupees, trying to cultivate the rupees, do I make money? No. So that's the whole point, is the bhakti is there as a side thing of bhakti. Then you get, what is that? Hmm? I don't know. It's bricks. So as a side thing of bhakti, the jnana and vairag come. So that's a symptom that the bhakti is going nicely. You're advancing. Does that make sense? So it's where the focus is. From the bhakti, then you get the jnana and vairag. Just like if you perform dharma, artha comes. But if you focus on artha, it doesn't mean you have dharma. You know what I'm saying? You perform dharma, then from that, artha always is coming. But someone who only focuses on how to make money in that, it doesn't mean he's developing any dharma. Right? Does that make sense? So in other words, there's bhakti and the derivatives of bhakti, just like there's dharma and there's the derivatives of dharma. Right? From dharma will come artha and kama. So from bhakti will come jnana and vairag. Are we getting anywhere here? Or, right? Okay. So he's trying to make that very clear, is that bhakti has to be seen as bhakti, and exactly how that comes. Right? So it's not coming from this or that because you were so intelligent and you always went to the bookstores and therefore you came around and you found the Bhagavad Gita and then you read it and then you became a devotee. No, it's nothing to do with that. We're not, you know, devotional service doesn't happen because we're smart. Devotional service happens by the grace of the Lord and the devotees, that we're interested in the topic, and then they make the arrangements. Does that make sense? So then we can see association of devotees and the Lord's blessing. That's the most important thing in devotional service. Otherwise you think, no, I'm just so good at sadhana, that's why it's all going nicely, or this or that. So they're trying to point out it's not the action, it's the mood of devotion, right? Because he's saying, said before, is that, what do you call it? Where's that one? Oh, unless an action loses its fruit of intention and attains the form and name of causeless devotion, it does not become bhakti, right? So if there's a fruit of intention of it, then that aspect of it is not bhakti. Right? So when we say mixed, it means that it's devotional service is going on, but also other things are going on. Right? So then our jnana and our, so this way we can understand karma misra bhakti and jnana misra bhakti might be different than how we're defining it ourselves. Right? One's interested in knowledge, then he's a jnana misra bhakta. You know, or he's, you know, engaging in so many activities, so he's a karma misra bhakta. No, it's when the fruit of intention is there, then it takes on these qualities. Does that make sense? So the definition then it becomes soft. Because the other definition makes it hard. Oh, it's jnana misra bhakti, throw it out. Oh, they're not advanced. Oh, it's not this and that. Does that make sense? Because the point is, it's not what's being going on. It says, okay, this is a simple deity worship, chant Hare Krishna and all that. Prabhupada gave some basics and all that, but someone else is going to give you the real thing. But the point is what are they doing in Goloka? Right? They go out, they milk the cows, they pick some fruits and flowers from the trees, they make some preparation for Krishna, they offer it to him. They think about Krishna. So are they doing some really complex something? No. So then the point is it's the attitude. So that's what's trying to be trained, is it's the attitude, not something else. If the attitude is right, then the engagement of the knowledge and the activities becomes perfect. But if the attitude's not right, to that degree it's not right, there's going to be some problem. Right? Does that make sense? So this fineness of being, because this is the chapter where it's defining devotional service. So it has to make it very clear exactly what is devotional service and what's not. Right? Does that make sense? So it doesn't change our idea of the activities that we're doing. What it means is it's the mentality with which they're done. Right? So our chanting, our sadhana, our deity worship, our other services, they don't change. It's the attitude in which it's done. Does that make sense? Yes.
Maharaj, could you maybe a little elaborate? What are the symptoms of getting spiritual results from the efforts? Like, in one sense, one's mentioned the bhakti, the jnana, and vairagya will follow, but many times then, you know, name, fame, and this and that comes, and then it's difficult.
Oh, well, that means everything comes along with it. When you perform any action, there's always some kind of result. So, but the important thing is the jnana means you have more of an understanding of what's going on. And the vairag means you have less interest in the material energy. But that you have less interest, that itself's not the bhakti. Right? Focus on Krishna, that's the bhakti. Because many times you think, I'm just, you know, performing my sadhana, I get purified, I go to Mangal Arati, I'll get purified, I chant my rounds, I'll get purified. But where's the bhakti in this? Right? Because the point is why do you want to be purified? Right? You know, motive goodness, of course, is nicer than motive passion or ignorance. So what's your motive to get purified? Right? The motive is because I'm so impure, I never properly think of Krishna, I don't perform my activities right, I don't properly deal with the devotees, therefore I need to purify myself. So then you're looking at that element, but that can't be the drive. The drive is to please Krishna. And so at some point in time we're looking at the purity aspect, another time we're thinking about hearing or chanting or remembering or something always is different, is prominent in the mind. So those can move through those nine processes. That's fine. That's natural. But what we're talking is that we get so caught up in the activity itself or the knowledge of the activity, then there's a problem. You know what I'm saying? Because it has to be that it's being done for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Like we were talking before, we were talking about so much on this Brahmagyan, is that from the second canto, is that we see we're attached to something in the material world, but that potency, that thing that we're attached to, we attribute it that it's the external item. But actually that external item's dead matter. It cannot invoke any emotion from the living entity, which is, you know, how you say it was a chit. A chit can't bring about any excitement or need within a chit. I mean, within chit. So that's not the actual point. So it's Krishna's potency, which is expanding from him, that is able to attract our attention. Right? So the ability to see that, just to see that, that's not necessarily the devotional thing. You just see the technicalities of how the material world works, the Shankhya. But the point is to see that so I understand that what I'm attached to isn't so important. It's actually Krishna whose potency is there. So if Krishna's potency in this thing is generating some, you know, how you say, what I would call favorable emotions, then how much more would it be that if I actually understand it's Krishna and take it to the point of interacting with Krishna. Right? Because this is Krishna just as a universal form. So that's, he just says that's just a spark of his splendor. That's nothing. But what he's offering is interaction with him as Bhagavan. Right? So that relationship, that rasa, is so much greater than anything else that's here. Right? Because rasa is still coming from Krishna. But the point is if it's favorable to Krishna, then it's devotion. If it's not favorable to Krishna, it's not devotion. Right? But it still has the same source. But when we recognize it's Krishna, then we deal with him as a person. So that's so much greater. Right? And these other things, it's the rasa that's coming from there. That's the knowledge, yes, that's what it is. But it has to be then the devotion. It's that knowledge is then used in a devotional way. So when it's applied in a devotional way, then it takes on the quality of bhakti. If it's not applied in a devotional way, it doesn't take on that quality. You may be purified, you may be liberated, but you won't get bhakti. So that's why we always have to see is all of our knowledge and all of our activities are connected to Krishna. Right? That we made the endeavor to learn this knowledge so we know more about Krishna and come closer to Krishna, that's the devotion. You know what I'm saying? But the knowledge itself on its own is not the devotion. Otherwise, book Gita is there and so many academics and scholars are reading Gita. It's Krishna's instructions, but it's not invoking devotion in them. Why? Because that's not their interest. Right? The material world is Krishna's. It's not someone else's. But we use it very, very, very expertly to avoid Krishna. Right? So in the same way, this knowledge about, you know, how everything is, it's the same. Generally, it's more covered, so they don't get very far with it. You know, just like the activities, it's covered. You think it's just dead matter, but actually it's Krishna's potencies. Right? So in the same way, the knowledge gets covered. So you think it's just logic and facts and figures. You don't act. So that's why they say it's contradictory or it's this and that. So they can't understand the moods and everything that's going on. Does this make sense? So in other words, it's that attitude in which you perform it that makes our activities devotion. Right? So if the attitude is purely devotional, then the activity is purely devotional. And if it's mixed, it's mixed. Right? And if there's no devotion at all, it doesn't have any devotion. Does this make sense? Right? Are we catching this distinguishing element? Because that makes it we won't become bewildered. Otherwise, so many times you wonder, how did somebody go away? But you have to be able to identify what was actually real. You know? They were very austere, you know, they were very this or that, but were they very devotional? Right? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So that's the element, so we can see that in our life and see that in our dealings. Yeah? Okay, any other questions? Yes.
Like in the beginning, we're doing sadhana in the moment of purification. It shouldn't be our focus.
It shouldn't be the focus. The focus is that, it's like, okay, it's like this. You're doing sadhana. And the point is that why are you doing this sadhana?
To refine myself because...
No. Why are you doing the sadhana? Why are you doing the sadhana? Yes.
Because you're not attracted to the material. You're not getting happiness.
Okay, but still, why are we doing the sadhana?
You can place the spiritual master to place
Krishna. Okay, what were you going to say?
I was going to say samadhi.
Yeah. And that's why we're doing it. Well, what did you know about sadhana before you met the devotees? Anything? You knew a lot? You were sitting out there and... You know, and whatever it is in Moscow, and, you know, doing serious sadhana there. Yeah? Yes? No. So, therefore, you've learned about sadhana in connection with the possibility of attaining devotion to prema, you know, in connection with Krishna, right? Right? So, that's why you're taking up the process of devotional service. Right? So it's not that you're doing sadhana to get purified or sadhana to, you know, for any other reason. You're performing sadhana so that you please Krishna and develop love for Him. Right? Now, in that process, it may take some focus on our part and determination to become good at this sadhana, but it doesn't mean that that distracts us so completely that we forget about why we're doing the sadhana. Yes, because otherwise, unless you know what goal you're getting, how do you know your activity is correct? Right? But at the same time, is if you don't understand where you're coming from, right, then you also, how do you know that your activity is being performed properly? Right? So that means your action is strong because your sambandhagyan, the prayojana, are in place. Right? Then your abhideya is correct. Now here, what they're pointing out is to make sure that when you're performing abhideya, that sambandha gyan and that you understand what is the goal is right. Right? Otherwise, then you may make a mistake that, yeah, just becoming good at sadhana or just becoming the temple president or just becoming the top book distributor, this is the important thing. No, you're becoming the best book distributor because you want to distribute books because that pleases Krishna. So you have the ability to do it very nicely, so you want to do it the best you can for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So it looks the same, but it's actually different. So devotional activities and material activities look the same, but actually their approach is very different. Right? When the devotee goes to the market to buy vegetables, what's his mentality? Yes, so he's going to buy the best vegetables because he's cooking for Krishna. Now the karmi is going to the market to buy vegetables for himself. What's he looking at? Best vegetables because he wants them for himself. Right? So it looks the same. They'll both walk home with the best quality vegetables. But the mentality is different. One is karma, one is bhakti. So like that also in knowledge it's the same. If the knowledge is to please Krishna, then it's useful. If it's not, then, you know, it's that aspect is that the jigyasu. Otherwise, many people, they learn so much in this and that, and then they'll find some fault somewhere, and then they'll go away. Right? And then you can meet them on Dasht, I think, you know, like that. So, you know, it's you know what I'm saying? So the jigyasu, you have to be careful of that, because you have to be able to distinguish between what is actual bhakti and what's gyan, right? It doesn't mean that the devotee is not very intelligent, right? Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada points out, he was the greatest scholar in, you know, the contemporary times. We're talking over the last hundreds of years. So no one as erudite as Jiva Goswami. Just like that. Even other sampradayas read Jiva Goswami's Sanskrit, because even their own acharyas don't write with that exactness, right? The Shris, they say that like when it comes to word jugglery, you know, the Mayavadis will take something and juggle it. So stuff that Ramanuja has written, the Mayavadis can still juggle it around and try to make a different meaning out of it, you know, and make things confusing. But Jiva Goswami's Sanskrit, it doesn't matter how you take it apart and put it back together, it still means the same thing. You cannot juggle it. And we're talking about Sri Vaishnav scholars are saying this. So they read it just because they're amazed by his presentation. Right? So we're not saying that they're not intelligent. We're saying is that if that intelligence is, that's the important thing, then you have a problem. You know what I'm saying? Then there's a problem, because the jnana takes precedent over the bhakti. Therefore, there will be confusion, because there's speculation. Because if there's no religion, then philosophy becomes speculative. So that religion means that you're applying the philosophy in Krishna conscious action. Does that make sense? Then there's no speculation. Is that okay? Something else? Yes.
Maharaj, if we haven't passed the anarcha-nigriti platform yet, is it not the right attitude to do the same purification?
The point is who are you doing the purification for? So what's prominent? That desire to serve Krishna, therefore you're purifying yourself, or that you just want to be pure? Yes, so therefore it's not a problem. All we're saying is that karma and jnana, if it's enacted, connected to Krishna, it's fine. But if it's not, it's nothing special. Just because you're very intelligent, you have all kinds of letters after your name, it does not matter if it's not connected to Krishna. It's just as useless as the next thing. Right? You know what I'm saying? I have reflection in the water. I have a poo doll. And on this side, I have, you know, how you say, a, you know, 5-carat diamond ring. Right? And they're both reflected in the water. Which one is the superior reflection? Right? Now, we'll tend to say the diamond, but it's just as useless as the other. You can do nothing with it. That's the point, is that if it's connected to Krishna, it's useful. If it's not connected to Krishna, it is absolutely useless for devotional development. It may be very nice and important material, so what? You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't matter. This is the whole point. This is the faith that has to be developed. So if it's not connected to Krishna, it's useless. But at the same time is the expertise to be able to connect everything to Krishna. Otherwise you'll think, just what I connect to Krishna, that's useful. What I don't connect to Krishna, that's not useful. Right? That way then the brahmacharis think the grihasthas are off the wall, and grihasthas think the brahmacharis are off the wall. You know what I'm saying? So then it doesn't get anywhere. The point is that if it's connected to Krishna, it's fine. And if it's not connected to Krishna, that's the problem. Because Krishna is what's of value. Is that okay?
If it's connected to Krishna, to do it for purification?
But the point is why are you doing the purification?
To please Krishna.
Yes, so that's what you keep in your mind. Otherwise, Prabhupada tells the story of that one pujari in Jagannath Puri. His service was to bring the bath water for Jagannath every day. And he would do that his whole life. He brought that water for Jagannath. Then at the time of death, he was thinking, who's going to bring the water? Right? And with that thought, he's leaving the body. But the point is what happened to Jagannath? Who's he bringing the water for? You understand? So he's just focusing just on bringing the water, but he's forgetting that he's bringing that water for somebody. So bringing the water was more important to him than that he's bringing it for Jagannath. So therefore, he didn't go back to Godhead. Right? Though it was a lifetime of service. But he forgot who he's serving. Right? Does that make sense? This is the point. This is common. It affects our devotional life. It affects our spiritual activities. It affects our material activities. The man goes out, works all day hard, you know, commuting to work, doing the work, coming back from work. It's really an annoyance. He comes home, and then he just wants to be alone, and he's all grumpy. Right? So when the family comes to interact, he doesn't want to interact. What's wrong here? He thinks, I'm working all day, I'm taking care, I provided, so I've done my job. But why is he providing? You understand? For the relationship with the family. So when the relationship is there and he ignores it, what's the meaning of his work? You understand? So the point is that's the whole idea, is that just because you've done the sadhana, you did the management, you did the service, that's good. But if you're not really doing it to please Krishna, that's not the foremost in your mind, then the action that you're performing will be mixed, because otherwise what's driving you to do it? You want to be expert at it, but why do you need to be expert? Because you have the need to be expert, or to be recognized, or to be correct, or to be the best, or to be, you know what I'm saying? That's what drives. So it's okay as a beginning. But what we're trying to do is distinguish between, just because you're doing it nicely and perfectly, doesn't mean, therefore, you actually understand the devotional import. Right? The guy's got money, so he gives some money to the temple, then he immediately thinks you can run the whole thing. But where's the spiritual understanding? You know what I'm saying? So this is what we're trying to distinguish here, is the actual devotional attitude by which the activities are performed and the performance of these activities. Because the same activity, the same sadhana that we follow, that you go to Rishikesh, Haridwar, Varanasi, the impersonalists are following the same sadhana. They get up early in the morning. They chant their japa, whatever it is. They take bath in the Ganges. They wear their simple clothes. They put their tilak. Right? They eat food that's offered, first offered to the deity. You know what I'm saying? They might even be following the same, Pancharatras that we're following. But what's their purpose? Right? And they're very detached. Everything they do, they're not attached. Their senses are very controlled. Right? They speak Sanskrit. But so what's the difference? They're doing the same activity. They're also trying to purify themselves, trying to get out of the material world. So what's the difference? They're not doing it with any idea to please Krishna. So that's what we're meaning, is that you can be expert at doing your service, but always remember who you're doing it for. That's the point. Is that okay? Yeah. Just keep that in mind, that's all. It means we'll be focusing the most on the activity itself. That's why it's called karma yoga. When it comes to be, you see the metaphysics that are working behind it, you know, and that more of that detachment from the results and the need for it. That becomes jnana yoga. But there's still devotion because you're doing it for Krishna. Like that. Then comes jnana yoga, where you're focusing more on Krishna. But then still, there's bhakti yoga, because you're doing it to please Krishna. Because you can remember Krishna all day, but why are you remembering him? You know, just because I'm supposed to remember him, or because you want to you want to please him through remembering? You know what I'm saying? So that's why those elements are there. Otherwise, the yogis are meditating on Paramatma. They're seeing Paramatma. Right? It's not they're seeing somebody else. Right? It's not Michael Jackson or something. It's they're seeing Paramatma. But it's not considered devotion. Because they're not seeing him with the idea of pleasing him. They're seeing him because that's what a yogi is supposed to do. Patanjali says the only thing that should be meditated on is Vishnu. So that's why they're doing it. Does that make sense? These are fine. We're only bringing these fine points out just so that one knows that that side exists, so we don't become a disturbance. And it's just like this. Is the glass empty or is the glass full? Which is it? Go ahead, take a guess. Okay, why do you say it's half full? Yeah. So what are the two ways of looking at it?
From nothing to something and from something to less.
Okay. And which would you use for what? If you wanted to inspire somebody, which would you use?
Helpful.
Okay. What would you do if they were proud? Right. So that's why these two systems are there. Baladev Vidyabhushan makes the point that anything connected to Krishna or the devotional service is counted as devotion. Right? That's the what is it? Anyavilasita. The ita means connected to. Right? I think it's iti. You know, so devotional service, pure unalloyed devotional service, or anything connected to that, is counted as bhakti. Right? And that's generally the mood that we use. That's why this kind of a topic is sometimes confusing. But at the same time, as Vishwanath, because that's encouraging. Then you know you just come in, you do your service and all that, but that works great as long as you're humble. But if you're proud, then Vishwanath makes the point, until it reaches prema, it is not bhakti. Right? Any stage less than prema is not bhakti. Bhakti starts at prema. Then you have another 9 levels after that. Does that make sense? Because otherwise the person, the kanista, is thinking, I'm very advanced, I'm very special. Then you got to point out, no, special's a little bit more that way. You know? But the point is someone may think he's special all the way up to the uttam platform. Right? So still, then you have to point, no, it's a little farther. Right? So the one is to make sure you keep going, because otherwise you may become lazy due to ignorance. Then one is not, or being conditioned by the mode of goodness, one doesn't, that drive is not there. So to show you haven't made it yet, then Vishwanath's point is being brought out. But otherwise, the normal thing for preaching and cultivating devotees is holidays. Right? Does that make sense? Because so for us, that's the prominent mood. But it's not that this other mood is not there, just to make sure. So in ourselves, in analyzing our devotional progress, so we can see exactly what's going on, we need to know both sides. Right? If the glass is half full, that's progressive, that's positive. The glass is half empty, that's negative. So we have to know what's the positive, what's the negative. Does that make sense? In other words, we're performing an action for Krishna. We're washing the pots for Krishna. But it's not that we've washed the pots that makes it devotion, that we're washing these pots for Krishna that makes it the devotion. Right? Otherwise, the karma comes in, washes the pot, you pay him some money, it goes away. It was still Krishna's pots in Krishna's kitchen. Was there any devotional service? No, nothing. Right? If he comes in, does some voluntary service because you are nice guys, so he comes and helps and he can wash the pots, so he washes the pots. Is it devotional service? It's agyata sukriti. Which means, but it's bhakti agyata sukriti. So that means enough of that accumulates, then after a while he starts to get faith in the process. So he washes enough pots like that, then one day he starts to, you know, wonder what's going on and take an interest and then take up the association of devotees. Right, because then it was done there. Or let us say you have the karmi guy, he's washing the pots, he's getting paid for it, so there's no devotion there. And he has his set services, but one day, somehow or another, he just feels like doing something a little extra. Right? He puts the pots away nicely or something. He doesn't have to, he just has to wash them and keep them piled up. One day he's got a little extra time, doesn't know what to do, so he takes the pots and puts them on the shelf. That he's not being paid for. What is that then? Yeah, then it becomes that agyata sukriti. So that becomes then something he didn't know about. Now he's, you know, in touch with. So that's why doing anything in association of devotees, then the people might do something devotional by accident or just by association. Or they might hear the philosophy or they might be engaged in something. You know, does that make sense? Yes.
You mentioned bhakti
yajata
sukriti and
same thing. I just said it just to make it clear. But agyata sukriti. Because you have karma sukritis, jnana sukritis, and bhakti sukritis. Like that. So, like you'll see, like different parts of India, like you go, like on the western part of India, you try to get them to chant and take part, they may not. But you ask them to give money, they will. Right? You go to South India, you can sit and talk philosophy for hours. And men, women, and children will sit there fully with full attention. You can't do that in North India. They fall asleep in 5 minutes. Right? But in South, it's not necessarily, it's the karma that they're doing, that they can listen to philosophy. You come to this side, you have a kirtan, and everybody's involved. Though they may not give money, or they may not listen to the philosophy. So it's just different kinds of sukriti. You know what I'm saying? So we're distinguishing here, just the bhakti sukriti means we'll give rise to that. Right? In other words, you performed a good activity, then you'll have a desire and interest to do it again. You've studied something, you've gained knowledge, you'll have the inclination to do it again. But you've done something in connection with bhakti, you'll be inclined to do it again. So it's just the sukriti will be in that direction. Does this make sense? Is this okay? No one's freaking out here. No one's, no doubts are popping up. No one's, right? Yeah? Right? So it's just very clear exactly what it is that's the devotion. Right? Right? In other words, the potato is not the devotion. Right? That you're engaging the potato in the Lord's service, that's devotional service. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Right after they go around, they're supposedly coming here at 9. But whether that means they're here at 9 or they leave over there at 9, I'm not exactly sure.
And then,
yeah. So but the idea is that they'll talk with us. And if they're too late, then I'll talk first, and then after we can show them around. Yeah. Yes, that's just the way it is. So that's what they get. No. You just do what you're doing.
We ask them to come different day.
Yeah, we want them to come on a different day, but they said this is the only day, so this is what they get. Yeah. Yeah, so don't worry about it.